Welcome to Christ Today. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us and for loving us. We ask for understanding. We ask to show us how to be faithful to you, Lord. And we ask for mercy and hope in this life and in the life to come. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. I was thinking of Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We, my listeners, are in a spiritual battle. It is being fought on a spiritual battlefield. It is being fought on a cultural battlefield, political, and a physical one. All these ways are things that we have to interact with the world, and there is a battle going on. At its base, it is spiritual. But we still have to deal with the world, with the news that we hear, with the people we are interacting with. So whatever our future is, we want to stand for Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. That is the most important part. But here in the world, we see so many things going on. We see the media, we see the television, we see there's a lot going on. And it is important for us to look at what is going on in the world today. It's also important to have a view of history, whether it's for our life, a few lifetimes, or thousands of years. We can see that Jesus is important, and events compared to Jesus are not so important, but we still get to deal with it all. We get to figure it out. Things in the world, they do get our attention. There's incidences and situations, and they do affect us. All sorts of things affect us. For instance, have we heard about the four U.S. Navy ships that have been involved in a collision in the last month or so? That's something that is right in our world. It affects us. And how about the riots in Charlottesville, Virginia? They affect us. And I even think of the Charlottesville area as being something like Chico. With a population of about 150,000 in the greater area, it's kind of similar to Chico. And Charlottesville has a historical significance. And relative to California history, so does Chico. Charlottesville has 6 breweries. Well, Chico only has 1, but it is known very well around the United States and even the world. Well, another thing that is in our present-day news is this war in Afghanistan. You know that President Trump has said that he would extend it. That's in contradiction to his pledge while he was campaigning. But we'll see what we see. So all these subjects are things that are right in our life today. We live with them, we hear them, and there's something we think about. So how do we relate these subjects to how we live our daily lives? How do we reflect Jesus as we go on and have to deal with these things? Well, I think about those 4 Navy ships damaged in collisions with other ships. I have to say, I don't understand why it happened or how it could have happened. It could have been because of human error. But that's hard to believe because I know there are so many redundant safety measures. Really, it's a practically impossible things for me to conceive about how it could have happened. Human failure? Well, I don't think so. Navigational failures? No, I don't think so. Something to do with technology. I think of some kind of intervention that happened which caused a problem. Sure, you can say electronic warfare. You could also say it was dark or evil entities making a problem. Who knows what the real answer is, but it's probably something like that, or one of those things. Yes, we could say an individual had a sabotage. That's possible too, but for 4 Navy ships, I don't know. But we do have things going on, and that's the point. Things are going on, whether they're because of a human error or because of a cyber or electronic attack. That's, you know, they're both possible. What could have happened? I don't know. You look at the details of things, you get a little more information, but we still can only guess. I noticed that the Navy has its harnesses, wiring harnesses, and the Air Force has wiring harnesses made in other countries. I know that for many years, Mexico was making the wiring harnesses, and now China is making the wiring harnesses for much of our equipment. It's done over there to save money. So if China is building the wiring harnesses that control our most advanced military equipment, what could happen? You know, they are doing that for our most advanced plane, the F-18. Was it maybe done with a flaw in the system? Well, it's, or maybe on those ships. Lots of questions. Oh, there's another alternative too, that maybe Russia, you know, the United States and Russia both have been doing a lot of research into a beam-directed weapon. So this is another thing. We could have been attacked by a beam-directed weapon that would have affected the electronics. So we both, our countries, are working very diligently on that for probably close to 30 years. It's a long time thing. But these failures, it's a big question. And why were these failures in an area where there are so many submarines? You know, Russia has a big base, kind of like at or off the Sea of Japan. It has lots of submarines which go right through that area. It is a very important area that some of our naval ships have been in because of the proximity to the Soviet submarine base. Lots of things are interesting. You just wonder at them. You wonder why we are getting so close to North Korea. There's a lot of things that could happen. Is North Korea a threat to the United States? Well, it could be. It's just a good question all by itself. Yes, no, maybe so. I know Russia and China are both close partners with North Korea. They both said at about the same time that if the United States had a military action against North Korea, that they would defend North Korea. There's a lot of things that go on that we don't know. The real information is hidden. It is concealed with all the countries. But we still have indicators, and that's what I think we should always look at. What are the indicators? And look at them critically and try to figure this out. It's good practice, whether we know the real answer or not, because the people who know the real answers, they don't really say anyway. It's only you can look back in history and get a pretty good idea about what happened. That's kind of what we have to go by. We look at history. We look at the reports. Reports, reports, reports all over the place, but we can rely on none of them, whether they're from our government or any other. No, they always just weigh things one way or another. They can be true. They can be redirected. So you look at North Korea and what's going on over there. You look at South Korea, what's going on. Well, South Korea did recover missile debris that North Korea had sent up and tested. Part of the missile electronics on that recovered missile were made by China. So you know they're getting things from China. Is it parts? It might be. Or it might be the whole missile. There's just things going on, and really we don't know what the whole answer is, the whole truth of the situation. No. And that, I think, is a really good question to look at, to try to figure out the truth. Exercise your mind. See what you can understand from the significant situations that are around. There's things that just don't get talked about. Like you look at North Korea, and they have a group of computer hackers. I'm pretty sure the number was 256, and they go through information worldwide to see what systems, corporations, and governments they can break into. And they are successful. They break into a lot of things, from banks to corporations to governments to our utilities. And North Korea has, in fact, you know, I say in fact, it's kind of hard to confirm these informational things because, well, here's what happened. North Korea, it said, breached Pakistan's central bank. And through that central bank, they were able to wire transfer through the world financial system of central banks $800 million from the world banking system and redirect it through Pakistan's central bank right into North Korea's account. You know, they're just stories because we don't know. We can't prove they're true. We can't get it. The mainstream news will not comment on it, and there are only alternative news sources which talk about it. So what are we supposed to believe? What are we supposed to not believe? There are stories all over the place that we cannot validate. I don't think anyone can, and I don't think anyone who knows the truth of the story would validate them either. You just don't find the validation of what would have gone on. They're considered state secrets or central banking secrets. But we do hear the reports. Well, I think I got a little off course there. I do see connections. I do see questions. And somehow my mind goes from one place to another and kind of I talk about it. So these things do make sense to me because of the history that I've seen. I've seen the history of regimes that exist today. I have seen the study of history. That's been a whole lot of my personal experience to look into history. And I've had experience in dealing with people, talking with people, traveling places, listening to things that they say have gone on. Yeah, you have to use a lot of discernment for these things. You have to seek to have understanding. That discernment is a big issue because there's so many stories that really aren't quite true. But it's a exercise to discern what is true and what isn't. And that's what you have to do too. I have to do that. I get information that I hear and I just wonder at it. I validate it or invalidate it. Or I shouldn't say validate because I don't have the knowledge and experience to do it, but I do have some knowledge and some experience, and I try to use that in an intellectual understanding to understand what can be true and untrue. That's what I'm talking about today. How do you see what is true and how it's untrue? You have to get a grasp of what's going on in the world, in the spiritual world, and you have to make decisions based on what you understand. It's just a great big exercise. So, I do try to tell you things that are interesting, things that are likely true, but you have to use your own discernment and understanding also. For any radio program, for any news program, there's lots of misinformation going on, and you have to be able to make sense of what you hear and decide on the truth of the matters, because there's so much being spoken that is exaggerated, so much that it makes it untrue. That's actually what I'm trying to look at today. So I raise these issues to say there's more to the stories that we understand. A part of what we understand has to do with preparedness also. And we're approaching the National Preparedness Month next month. So we will be going into preparedness in more detail. I think about these things because they are a matter of living life in a way that's wonderful. And this, as I see it, is so important to our relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's why I can kind of bring these things together. It's life. And Jesus talked about life a lot. I just thought of one more thing about North Korea, though. And that was in it going back to 1994. The father of the present ruler, King Jong-un, his father was the leader or dictator of North Korea. And at that time, he was making very loud threats of war. And what happened was our ex-president Carter went over on a peace mission. And he acted as a negotiator. He was negotiating a peace agreement with the then leader of North Korea. At that time, Bill Clinton was the president of the United States. What happened was ex-president Carter came back with a proposal. It was to give the then leader of North Korea a new and modern nuclear reactor, plus $2 billion. All they had to do was promise to stop having war efforts and to use the nuclear reactor only for peaceful purposes. Pretty interesting, huh? All these things, history, indicators, things that go on. So, 25 years later, what is going to happen? Is it the process repeating itself where the North Korean leader is going to threaten war and figure that he is going to be appeased and get valuable gifts from the United States or maybe other countries? Why not? There's a history of it. His dad did it. Why wouldn't it not be a good lesson learned? Well, the political situation or the political leader of the United States has changed. And the threat of war may not bring what they had in mind. But things are going on. There is money going into that country of North Korea. One way or another, like I said, they had that team of cyber computer people who works on trying to get into other systems and stealing money. The $800 million was pretty significant, and it sure beats selling vegetables to China. Yeah, that's another way they get money. Well, all I can say is these are things. Look at them as though they are indicators. Yep, and one more factor that we have here going on to consider. If they're threatening war, and they are, don't forget that there are two satellites which go over the United States every day. North Korea is in control of those satellites, and there has been plenty of speculation that one or both of these satellites have a miniaturized nuclear bomb that would effectively produce an EMP pulse. EMP, electromagnetic, that's what you get when you set off a nuclear bomb. It's speculation. We are limited to the information that we have, but can you see it kind of makes sense? And there is an attitude. Have you noticed North Korea's attitude? It's kind of like they have a strong position. That leader does not feel submitted to the threats of the United States. Why? I sure do think it could be because he feels like he has a strong position of sending a war to the United States. But there's lots of questions, lots of answers. And we try to figure it out. Even for Charlottesville, Virginia. Oh, yes, things are going on out there. Problems. There was a white supremacist group that had had a permit for months, many months, to have a protest or a march over there. And then there have been months of an opposition group to counter a protest that white supremacist group. It's just kind of puzzling. When you get a little more information, you see more questions. You see that Antifa group had for weeks spent several weeks advertising for people to protest, and they would be paid $25 per hour to go against the white supremacist group. Well, I don't know if that was advertised, but it was said. And so there wasn't, when they got into their meetings, you know, who do you believe? I don't know. Do you believe the people who say they were working for Antifa? Well, I think you give it some weight. And that's kind of like what I did to try to figure out what was going on. What is going on? You get more and more information. It's conflicting. And you try to figure it out. There was one man who was a police officer. And he said that their police force was... he made a protest because they were ordered to withdraw. A reporter witnessed that report and confirmed that there was a complaint about that. Lots of things we don't know. Why did the police let those two groups, those opposing groups, get so close together? That proximity, that closeness, allowed the physical clashes to occur. Oh, it's just interesting. Lots of interesting things when you look into the details. One of the things that I noticed, that both sides were equipped with certain protective equipment, body equipment like helmets, and they both had similar sticks, similar bats. And I could not help but wonder if both sides got their materials from the same supplier. Who paid for them? I don't know. Was it really the groups that you heard that were actually doing what you heard they were doing? Questions. I don't know either, but just in my experience of life, I have seen protests and I have seen communist Marxist groups stage events with my very own eyes. I've seen it in London, I've seen it in Africa, I've seen it in South America, just because I happened to be there, and these events were going on. You learn later that the the signs were the same. The indicators for the organizational things were the same. The issues were the same. And you just draw a conclusion that it was actually a Marxist communist group that is behind the organization and the acquisition of materials. The patterns of literature or propaganda are the same. The chants can be so similar. It shows that there is a similar pattern for how the people and the organizations are mobilized. It's not that you can quite say, oh, they did this and oh, they did that, but you can see that they're patterns and you can draw logical conclusions. And it's not the same as knowledge. I don't have knowledge that they were the same groups, but in my experience, the similarities shows that they were the same people who were making the trouble, who were disrupting the normal life in those certain locations. The complaints were similar. The actions were similar. So the pattern is repeated because it works so well. And what is the goal here? As far as I can tell, the goal is to destroy the old established system and then to have a new system, new laws, ready to go and to fall into place once the normal political leaders have agreed to a quick and easy answer to end those problems, those protests. It would be bringing in a new law and a new order. It's not always this way, and it's not that you always see it one way or another, but it does seem to me to be a pattern, and that's what I'm expressing to you. This pattern is nothing new either. You can look at revolutions, and you can see that there is a similar pattern in revolutions. You can look at ancient history like Rome, and you can see that there were revolutions in Rome. You can see that there was revolutions. Remember the French Revolution? Remember the Russian Revolution? And there's ones that have been going on recently in Africa and in the Middle East. Yes, there are patterns here that carry on. Why? Because they work. That's why they're so similar. Is because they work. And it's not a secret. All the foreign services know this. Well, you know, the ones that do things kind of surreptitiously, like in the United States, it would be the CIA. There are certain groups that are hidden, and they know how to cause dis-ease among the population and have people be unsatisfied. A part of it starts with getting the population wanting things, whether it's clean water or food. But it's a big study. I don't mean to get into that now. I only mean to say the mechanism for change in this way is well understood. One of the things that also can be done is to destroy this existing social order is to have monetary instability. That is a huge one because it's the basis of how we interact. We buy things, we like to see that things have a value, and when the values change, we have trouble. That's why unstable money is a problem for countries. What all this difficulty brings is it brings the population of a country to a point that they are finally ready to say, okay, I will change. This is not worth the price of the pain that we are suffering with poverty, with a lack of resources, with a lack of food. Even death by starvation, that happens just plenty, a whole lot in history. a whole lot in recent than the last 100 years. It is normal. It's just that we haven't seen it here. A lot of people think that it couldn't happen to them, and then it does. So what happens? That's another part of the preparedness, is to recognize that these things could happen here. They have happened all over the world, just different situations. High-minded people, people who are intellectuals, they don't want to hear this, because so many of these smart people think they can fix the problems. They don't have to be subject to the same problems as the third world or poorer world countries have. They can figure it out. But that is not history. It's not. We can see patterns. We can see that it is so important to have certain principles. And among these principles are human respect and freedom. And that comes from the principles that we have learned in our American history. And so many of those principles come from Scripture, the Bible. That's where it talks about human dignity, about respect for women, respect for position, respect for humanity. Our founding fathers recognized this, and they used the same principles espoused by the Bible, by English law and biblical principles. And there were some mistakes made along the way. It's true. But the principles that they mainly followed have brought us freedom and prosperity, which we enjoy today in abundance. Freedom and prosperity. That we want to preserve. We want to struggle to make this a cornerstone of our life in America. We want to have an economic freedom. We want to have our dollars stay with value. But that's another one I might just tackle later. Okay, we don't want violence. We want a peaceful society. We want to be Christian gentlemen and gentlewomen. And too many of us don't recognize that heritage that we have and how to be or stay gentlemen and gentlewomen. So many of us think that we are entitled, that we're entitled to, peace and safety, maybe. Maybe our food, maybe our freedoms, and maybe the vices that too many of us have. So what do we want, and how badly do we want it? We should put a little effort into trying to make the good things in life happen. And one of those good things is going to heaven. Yep, and how badly do we want that? Do we want it badly enough to study, to read and study that certain book? The good book? The Bible? Well, a lot of us say we want it, but we just don't want to put in any effort. We don't want to put an effort into reading. We don't want to put an effort into changing our lives and making it conform to the principles that we hear in the Bible. Well, I'll tell you, the way I see it is that heaven is a choice and hell is a choice. So look at this pretty close. Read that book of instructions or get them from a person who knows pretty well. I still say this, the one who knows them the best is the God who wrote the Bible. So, yep, pastors are good, men of God are good, but the Bible, I'd say, is much better. So have a pretty close look to this and try to figure out how you can get what you want. getting to heaven. That's a pretty big, important thing. Now, I think that the King James is a pretty good version of the Bible. I suggest that. I suggest the New King James Bible, because those two versions, I think, are the most faithful representation of the Bible. Now, I know there's plenty of people who do not agree. They say that the new versions are more easy to read. That might be true. Often enough it is, especially if you're reading it to someone. But I think you want the most accurate thing you can do, you can find. And that, to me, is the King James and the New King James. You, of course, are entitled to your opinion and what you pursue. Pursue it. Pursue truth. Pursue the truth of the Bible. Study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth, which I think you can pretty well say is the Bible, the word of truth. That is in 2 Timothy, and it is something that we can remember. So read that good book. It has a lot of correct answers. You want to pass the test, and you want to give the correct answers, the most correct that you can, and you can find those in the book. Oh, boy. Okay. So, we all want to get to heaven. Let's figure out how to do that. I think one of the things I touched on a little earlier was that war in Afghanistan. The United States has been at war within Afghanistan for 16 years. It's said to be the longest war that the United States has ever had. In that war, there have been 1,700 soldiers that died. You know, I think there's two places that have a different number, 1,700 or 2,400 that have died. It's a huge cost for our society. 20,000 United States soldiers have been wounded in Afghanistan. Again, that's a huge price for our young men and strong military men to pay. I hope it's worth it. I hope there's been benefit to the people of the United States who have borne the cost in dollars, in lives, and in misery. Well, it's a question we all have to look at. We don't really know the truth about why we are in Afghanistan, but it's a question. There's people who see there's alternative reasons for us to be there. Some say that it's for the natural resources, one of those being lithium. Some say that it's so an oil pipeline can go through. These can all be truths. They can all be reasons. And then again, they might not be. We just don't know. It's a pretty hard thing. We have to trust our leaders to be doing the right thing with what they know. But as a part of this, we also have to question our leaders, because they need to be able to have answers to say why they're doing what they're doing. And that's not to say giving the enemy information. It's just we, the citizens of the United States, deserve an answer and a discussion. And don't forget the other thing that we just have to do, and that is pray for our leaders. That is something always and everywhere, pray. We pray for that. We pray for Jesus Christ to be glorified. And that's another thing. Pray. Yes, always pray. But the Afghanistan question, that is a big question. I'm not sure if we even know why we're there. I think I just said that I did. But we have to have an idea what our goal is, and when will we be able to recognize that we have achieved that goal. It would be good to have a clear goal. I know that so many of us think that it is crushing terrorism, and I know that that's a part of it, from what I can tell. But can we crush terrorism? I'm not sure. We've been there for 16 years, and there's still active terrorists. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. We're training up the Afghani army, and that's a good thing. They need to be able to defend themselves, but they've had a lot of years to do that. I've heard one of the problems, one of the difficulties of any Islamic army is that, let's see, for instance, if you have target practice in the military style, they will shoot. If they hit the target, that's good, because it is Allah's will, they say. And if they miss the target, they will say it is good, because it is Allah's will, they say. So either way, they've done what they need to do, and they don't have to do any war more. So it's a question. You know, we have people in this country that say that too. Sure, some of them are Muslim and some of them are Christians, and they do something and then they realize, oh, well, I don't have to do any more because it's God's will. Well, you hear that all over the place for all different reasons, and just have a look at it, see what you think, and question it. Because if you say anything and everything is God's will, where is your personal responsibility? That's something which I urge you to look at and question. I think preparedness is a good thing. That's a part of what we can do for our individual responsibility to prepare for difficulties. We prepare for ourselves, we prepare for our family, and we prepare for others. It is right and proper to give help to others. And for that, I think it's right and proper to have a storehouse of supplies. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stockpile it like you were a crazy person who just says, I'm more. Just have whatever supplies you deem as good. Look into the matter, question it, and then have some of those extras on hand. Have basics. Because that's a part of our Christian love, is to share. And for us to share, we have to have something to share. Another great reason to have preparations. I think that another thing that is on my mind as I'm thinking about current events, let's go back in the area of Afghanistan. Next to that is Pakistan, and next to that is India. You know, there's been some pretty big changes in India in the last year. One of the things that was done was to, practically immediately, I think they had a day to turn in their bills, was they made $20 bills and $10 bills no longer usable. They were not going to be considered money any longer. Did they have a day and a half or something to do that? It was such a short period of time. If you didn't turn your bills in, they would not be redeemable. So that happened there with a country that had a billion people in it. A billion people. That's almost five times more people than we have. Could it happen here? Well, I guess it could, but just because the president said, over there it was just because their prime minister said, we think, but there's a lot of things going on that we just don't recognize are going on. There's been a lot of people who have said money should no longer be here, at least not the hundreds in this country. Changes happen. And oh, another big change that happened in India was that their Supreme Court ruled that, let's think, triple talaq, was no longer going to be legal. And that means that a Muslim husband was no longer able to divorce his wife. by saying three times to his wife, "I divorce you." And then the woman would be divorced and she'd have to leave the home and leave her children in the home. So India just said that was a violation of human rights and that it was not going to be legal in their country any longer. Ha! What a thing! How wonderful we live in America where we don't have to contend with such things. Yeah, let's leave the Sharia laws over in other countries. Well, that's what I have to say. So earlier in this broadcast, I talked about Marxist communist groups and how they enforce their special interests on the rest of the citizens. And they do that by government decree. See, all these things have happened through history. It's nothing new. If you want your rights, you have to speak up. Speak up! Talk to the people in charge and tell them you want to preserve the freedom that was traditional for this country. So many places have had their freedoms curtailed. In England, they did too. It was a slow process lasting decades. But England has had their freedoms curtailed. And I know that because when I was young, my father had a friend in England who was a retired doctor, and they had long letters back and forth. His handwriting was so bad that my dad would ask for help to read the letters, and I would help. So I got to actually read those pages and pages of letters as he described what was going on in his country. England. He talked about things going on like protests and rising prices, or what would you call the lowering value, the value of their pound, which was their money they used. And all these problems were described in their correspondence. It was pretty interesting for me. I guess I've always liked history. And it reminded me of a time where this was in 1970, I was a young man, and I was riding around in London on their underground subway system. It was kind of at the end of the trip, and it was very interesting because there was a man so well-dressed that he came in and he sat down and he opened an envelope and started reading a paper. Now, I was right there. Interesting what he was reading. I looked over his shoulder and read it as he read it. It was a detailed report of exactly how a certain situation would unfold into a mass protest with women who had babies and baby carriages in the front, where they could intimidate police to step aside and walk and let the protesters walk past the police into certain areas where they could have their billboards and their shouting. Well, it was pretty interesting to read that 10-page report with that man. It grew on me gradually over time, what I had read. It wasn't that I knew it right away, but it sure stuck in my memory. So I could see that these protests that in the British newspapers were called spontaneous protests were really all planned. Sure, they were reported as spontaneous, but according to that paper that I read with that man, reading over his shoulder, I could tell you that these protests were so very planned. That's probably what we are experiencing today also. Protests that are well planned. I've seen it in other countries too. I've always been interested in seeing other places, so I've traveled, always on a shoestring budget, but still I traveled. I would have the cheapest airline tickets I could find, and I would go and look. So I went to places like Africa. I saw the events that were occurring in Africa, and I read the papers here and the papers over there, and it was obvious how inaccurate the reporting was. The newspapers in those other countries, they would report on events that happened in the United States. They were inaccurate too. Inaccurate all over the place. So I could skip ahead 20 years from that time when I was interacting with people on the city council, interacting with people on the planning commission. And so I went to plenty of meetings in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and I could see the newspaper reports about the meetings, and I could tell that those reports were, you wouldn't recognize the meeting if you attended, because they emphasized things that were so minor and they neglected to report on things that were major at the meetings. And so it was just a continuation of how slanted newspaper reporting is. I saw that firsthand as I traveled, and I saw that firsthand in the little community that I was a part of in the Bay Area. So it still is something we should look at. We should still look at the media and try to figure things out. We can read the reports. We can see it on the TV or the radio or the media. See what we can see, understand it, and try to figure out what is the truest situation that had gone on. That's about all we can do, because when you recognize that there's so much misinformation, you just want to try to figure out what really is happening. That's about the best we can do. Realize that for the television media. Realize that for the printed media. Search it out and try to figure out. Like I said, I saw that as I went traveling. I saw that in South America, in Africa. If anybody has traveled, they would recognize that too. And I know there's plenty of people who have seen other countries. It's a pattern. It's a pattern that these things are not reported accurately. They report labor strikes or wage strikes. Now, there's a certain amount of truth to the situations, but there's also plenty of disinformation. Plenty of, well, it's propaganda. And all this is easy to feed the civil disobedience with, because it just sounds so wrong. What is really right? It's hard to tell. But if you've been close to a situation and then you've read the reports, you will also recognize that the misreporting is very great. What can we do? We can use our powers of observation to discern, figure it out. What is accurate? What is not accurate? Look at clues. Look at indicators. Don't believe everything that you read. Observe what is going on. Recognize human behavior, because there's a very regular pattern to human behavior. Seek it out. Look. Be smart about it. Don't just take the people at their words. There's so much information going on today. It's lies. It's bad information. All over. The television, the radio. Hey, look at it with me too. I want you to question what I have to say. I want you to see if maybe it's not true. And check it. Check it. Try to understand the truth of the matters that you hear in the media, what you hear from government sources too. I don't think I better start on that one. But there's lots of things that we hear and we see that are simply inaccurate for what is actual, what is really going on. Try to figure it out. Try to observe it. There's all sorts of levels. There's the political levels that we see, that there's the social levels that we see, and there is financial problems. And, you know, that's one of the things I talk about. I think it's fine on Christ Today. Money has been an important part of life. Jesus talked about it a lot. So money, I think, is just fine to talk about. I think we should talk about what heaven is, what evil is, because evil or hell, because that's a part of reality. It's real life. We should try to keep our mind pure. Now, that's another part of what we do. We don't want our minds to be contaminated with evil. No, but have a few minutes, look at these questions, and try to figure things out. And protect yourself. See what things are sensible so that you can protect yourself, your family, your neighbors, and a few other people from the difficulties that just might happen. It's always the time to look how you can protect yourself before there's a reason, before trouble actually comes knocking on your doorstep. Now, it can be trouble that is political. I've kind of talked about that. It can be trouble that is physical or military. It can be trouble that is to do with money. And our national debt is a part of that. The national debt of countries all around the world is a part of it. Here again, Jesus Christ talked about money. I think it's okay for us to talk about money and try to recognize that we have to have some understanding of it and use it wisely in a biblical, scriptural way. So, it's a question, and you get to figure it out and look at it. So, like I always say, be prepared for whatever happens. Have some things on hand. And there's too many people who see the possibilities of our system just coming to a halt, crashing, having two different monies, international money, the SDRs, and a domestic dollar, which would fall in value. Just that's a pattern that's happened in many countries. So it's a real possibility. Look at it and recognize that you always want to be a part of Christ's love. He is love and He is mercy. That's something we want to be a part of and project to other people, project to the world. It is Christ's love and Christ's mercy. And that's a part of preparation, is to show our love to other people. So thank you for listening today. May you walk with God and God walk with you. Amen.